You have a special invitation. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss the meet and greet with refreshments and light food. Then hear Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, host of Let's Face the Issues, speak. There will also be several other speakers and regular guests of his daily radio program. The speakers will discuss social, spiritual, and political issues. And you are invited to join in the discussion during the question and answer session before a live audience. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Salem Center Auditorium, the home of this radio station, 7235 Bentley Road, formerly Bonneville Road, just east of Highway 1 Phillips Highway. Seating is limited, so please arrive early to get a seat for the Let's Face the Issues rally, Thursday, July 1st.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, what is our hope? What is our hope? I go back to that old song that I quoted at the earlier part of the broadcast, verse 2 of the song, in every rough and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. When all round me my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. That's the wonderful song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I believe we have Jim on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Davis, how you guys doing?
Super. Thank you
for
calling.
Outstanding, outstanding. I do see some similarities from Genesis 19. Lot was found righteous, and the two men, angels, came into the city, and they were going to stay in the square, and Lot said no and begged them not to because he knew what would happen. Then the young men and the old men from all over the city came and pounded on the door demanding them to come out, and Lot, being a righteous man, tried to teach him, hey, look, man, I've got two daughters. Whether he was offering them up or whether he was trying to show them what was right, they all became offended and said, who is this stranger, this person that came into our land, a foreigner? We're going to do worse to you than we're going to do to your guests. And I do believe that the LGBTQs, whatever other letters you want to throw in there, are going to do the same thing here in the U.S. They're acting just like that, just like that.
Absolutely. And Jim, when it goes to the Equality Act, they're holding that in abeyance now. And as I understand from yesterday, Chuck Schumer is talking about taking the Senate Bill 1 and Senate Bill 2, that's the Senate Bill 1 dealing with the federalization of all elections, and the Senate Bill 5, which would be the same as House Bill 5, the Equality Act, going to attach them to the budget bill so that it will be voted on and will go through. It's my prayer that somehow, some way, that will be interdicted and stopped, because with that Equality Act, it will do the very same thing that you just spoke of, that's in Genesis chapter 19, verses 1 and following. And as you find with the Sodomites,
they're going to be pounding on the door. They're going to be pounding on the door demanding
Yes.
their rights.
Yes. In fact, it will open all bathrooms ladies' locker rooms, shower rooms, dressing rooms, open it to the perverts and the pedophiles, and nothing can be done. It will cause every church, every Christian, everything that every church and Christian has said will be filtered at the behest of the federal government to ascertain what's been said from the pulpit, what's been preached or taught, all information that's being published, publicized, printed, and distributed will be examined by the federal government to determine if you're in line with what is said in that new Equality Act. It was Nancy Pelosi, when that was passed in the House, she was reveling over the fact. She said this, she laughed and said, if I can say this, she said, this bill trumps all religious liberties, trumps all religious liberties. And I just discovered in some of my research this morning that one of the major, if I could use that term again, major proponents of Equality Act, House Bill 5 and Senate Bill 5, called the Equality Act, is a U.S. Senator from California that is a professing atheist that hates, his words, not mine, hates religion and religious peoples, especially, in his terms, Catholics and all Christians. That's what we see taking place today.
Amen.
It is the undermining, it is the destroying, the destruction, the degradation of the very foundation of our nation. And Jim, this is the reason I'm saying today, reminding every listener, we need to place our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can help. And if our hope's built on anything that's of man, then we're in serious, serious trouble as a people. Jim, thank you so much for your comments, for your insight. You're absolutely right. Hit the nail right on the head, as your statement is so relevant to what we're talking about today. Thank you for that. Pastor, how do you respond to what we've just said?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, we have got to recognize, first of all, with the remarks that you just got finished saying, that the young man, the senator, or whoever this person in authority was supposed to be that had to say those things about religion, we have to recognize that for exactly what it is. The Bible says that's the spirit of Antichrist.
Yes, absolutely.
We have to know,
in
amen.
In the greatest sense.
The book of 1 John said it's already here. It's not coming.
It's present.
It's here. We need to know this. You need to wake up and know that the spirit of Antichrist is already here, operating through people that's against God, against his word, against religion, and then against you, if yes. you are a Christian.
That's right.
So what we have to do, Dr. Youngblood, we have to remain vigilant. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, be sober and watchful, because your adversary, the devil, going about like a roaring lion, seeking
whom he may devour.
Absolutely. Amen. If you're on the weak side, you're not familiar with the word of God. You don't know, amen, how to pray. Amen. You don't have, amen, any contact, close contact, walking hand in hand with God. Amen. Then, my friend, you will fall prey to the works of the devil.
Absolutely.
So we have to know and understand it's high time for us to stand up. See, these things that we see right now, Dr. Youngblood, are not a lifestyle. God said it's abomination. That's yes. his word. Deuteronomy 18:22. I'm just going to read this and we'll go to the next call. I think you have one holding. It says, Deuteronomy 18:22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination.
Mm-hmm.
God said it's abomination.
And he went down in the nostrils of God.
Amen. In verse 27, and said, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Mm-hmm. That's our problem. Amen. This land has become defiled because we're not calling sin, sin.
That's it.
We're not standing on the word of God. We're compromising.
That's, right.
That's another enemy of the church.
Mm-hmm.
We're compromising, amen, with the word, mm-hmm. and we are giving the devil an inch.
That's right.
And I heard one of my teachers say a long time ago, back in high school, I'm less than 100 years old,
That's
like
right.
Dr. Youngblood, amen. But I heard one of my teachers say, if you give the devil an inch, he will take a foot.
That's right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So we can't give him no leeway
That's
on
right.
today.
Old cliche, let a camel get his nose in the tent and give him a few minutes, he'll be in the tent.
Amen.
I believe I have Jose on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, brother. I mean, it's sad to see how this, how can I call this? I mean, I don't even have a name, these weakness inside the church. And you got, I went online yesterday looking for a website, and it came out to me telling me how to be a pastor. I was like, what? And now you can find that anybody can be a pastor. This is not that you go online and you take classes. This is a calling from above, from heaven, from God. And I think this is one of the problems that we have in many churches. Well, my great-grandfather was a pastor, so the son was a pastor, and the son of that pastor is a pastor. This is not a dynasty. This is a calling from heaven. If they don't have that calling from heaven, that's the nonsense that we have. Look at this guy, Joe Austin. He inherited from his dad. Wait a minute. That's the reason we got so many people being misguided, because every time this guy opens his mouth, it's not what the Bible says. It's what he thinks, what he feels, what he thinks he ought to be. It's not my opinion or your opinion, guys. It's God's opinion. And I think we're lacking a lot of people that stand for what the Bible says. So anything goes, and everything, they wanna be loved by the world, and they want to be loved by God. Well, you are against the Bible, because that's against what God says. And it's time, you know, for people to stand up and say, this is what the Bible says, this is what God says, regardless of the consequences. You know what I mean? Even the homosexual community. I don't know why they are so pride this month. I guess they pride because they go to hell if they don't repent in their sin. But they should be, not proud of what's going on. But what I'm saying is the community, the Christian community that uphold the truth, that's us. We need to speak the truth in love. Well, we cannot lower the standard, or we cannot appease this lost world, because we know they hate us. Our job is to proclaim what the gospel says. And the other thing that I want to tell you, brother, is you mentioned about a professor that is a communist that hates Christians. My problem is, why we, the ones with the truth, don't fill those positions? Because we've been told, I don't know when that started, that if you are a Christian, you are not to get into politics. You cannot be a mayor. You cannot be a city council. I'd rather see you guys, city council, and the brother next to you, the mayor. You're Christian. You got the fear of the Lord, but you got people that is wicked, evil, and vile, pushing laws that he involves everybody, Christians, believers, and unbelievers. And I think that's one of the huge mistakes, that we have stepped back. And we let whoever take those positions, and that's why we see the brainwashing that is going on, the dictatorship that we have in the White House, they're doing whatever they want. Because the one with the truth, which is us, with the Bible, has said, you know what? You can do whatever you want. All we got to do is just pray. Yeah, we have to pray, but sometimes we have to act. And it's, we have to act peacefully. Peacefully.
As old cliche goes, you got to put feet on those prayers. And what you're saying is so adequately and so poignantly correct, because for many, 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 many years, if I can accentuate that, pastors have stood in the pulpit and they've refused to talk about political things. In fact, they have said that politics has no place in the church, etc. But when you understand the Word of God from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, verse 21, you find that it shows that God created the home, he created government, and he created the church, and he did so in that order. So anything that we speak of from a pastor standpoint, from a Christian standpoint, if we talk about the theological doctrinal truths of the church, if we talk about the family, if we talk about anything that's called politics, it's called government in the scripture, we're talking about biblical truth. And it's time that we as Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. Otherwise, we're watching the continued degradation and the destruction of the foundation of our nation. And again, I quote Psalms 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need to understand that we're on the fast track for the destruction, and it is the fact that it goes back to the very doorway, the threshold of the church, because we failed to be salt and light.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Failed to place our hope,
brother,
and our trust
and
our confidence
and
in God.
My final comment is, when you look at the Old Testament, when he was a wicked king, look at how the people suffered. But he was a fearing, loving God king. Everything changes. And that's exactly
Amen.
What we've seen. So I don't know why these people say, oh, no, you cannot be in politics. What? I'm sorry, guys, but that's a wrong understanding of the scripture. God bless you, brother, and thank you for your job, and thank you for opening the Christian community eyes. God bless you, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
Have a blessed day, and keep looking up. Our
Amen.
Redemption
Amen.
Right now.
Amen. That's a blessing right there, Dr. Youngblood.
Absolutely.
Or what that young man had to say, because I've heard those same things down to my 36 years of being, in Christ and in the ministry, that the church ought not to have nothing to do with politics. But we have to know and understand that God set the bar a long time ago in his word. And as for that, we as Christians, we set the bar for the rest of the world, because we have God in us, down on the inside.
Yes.
And when you look at the way that God ordained government, authority, Dr. Youngblood, from the beginning, the king had to also be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He had to know the word.
Right.
He had to teach the word. He had to govern by the word.
Right.
And when he chose elders or anyone else to assist him in ruling authority, they also had to rule by the word of God.
Absolutely.
So, my brother, you hit the nail on the head.
In fact, what people don't understand, Pastor, and I can digress for a moment to tie that loose in. In Romans 13th chapter, the first 7 verses, it talks about government. And government is ordained of God, the scripture
Amen.
Says. And government is ordained of God as a servant of God.
Amen.
And if government, being the servant of God, fails to obey God, then any laws, any edicts, anything that's passed by that government is antithetical to God and God's word. And we as Christians ought to take the stand, as Peter did in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. We're going to obey God and not man.
Amen. Amen.
And that's not saying that we need to be anarchist at all, but it needs to say that we're not going to stand for, not going to sit down and be silent, and allow the atheist, hedonistic, antichrist world make the decision on the morals, the ethics, and the values of our nation. Pastor, it reminds me of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, because so many people live in fear today. But the scripture says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind."
Amen.
It is the fear. And then the contrast of fear, the but is the contrast there, going in a different direction, grammatically speaking, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What does that mean, power? As you do the word study on that text, you find the word power means God's authority.
Amen.
God's enablement, God's provision. So we are his, and we're not to fear if we place our faith and trust in him. If our hope is built on nothing less than the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is the power, the authority, the enablement, the provision that we have in him. In fact, it reminds me of Nehemiah, the 4th chapter and the 21st. Nehemiah reminded his people, "Our God shall fight for us."
Amen. 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 But Dr. Youngblood, now who else would be more qualified to wield the power of God except those who are ordained of God?
Amen. Yes.
Now, that goes back to what that brother just got finished saying. Some of us need to be in position of authority, because what we have done, we have allowed, amen, the unregenerate, unsaved people to get in positions of authority. Now they're having to say so over things in our lives, and we're not agreeing with it.
That's right. That's right.
And now, we still don't have to sit down and take this roll over and play dead.
No.
Amen. Because we still have all the power we need, amen, in the word of God.
This is the reason in the Timothy text says we're to pray for those that have authority over us. And the Youngblood paraphrased edition, we're to pray for the princes, the potentates, the prime ministers, the presidents that have authority over us. And the reason the scripture says we're to pray for them in the 3rd verse is so that we might live a quiet and peaceable life.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, literally put, and the Youngblood paraphrased edition, we need to pray God remove some of these folks so that we can have a quiet and peaceable life.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
What we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen, is just as tragic, if not more so, with the big picture than the tragedy that we see that's just taken place with the 12-story condo building in Surfside, Florida, that just collapsed. It is the fact that we have that power. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the Equality Act that is so devastating that's on the horizon. Listen, you've heard me say something about this many, many times on this broadcast. It is extremely dangerous for America if Senate Bill 5 passes, called the Equality Act. It will devastate, it will destroy, it will eviscerate the very moral, ethical, biblical foundation for our liberties and for the faith of our nation. It will destroy the foundation of the United States of America if that bill passes.
Amen.
And the second thing, Pastor, is the Domestic Terrorist Act. It's not a bill. It's not a law. It hadn't been in the Senate. It hadn't been voted on in the House. It hasn't been debated. And I would be willing to say at this juncture, Pastor, that probably as much as 99% of the general public is not even familiar with or aware of what is called the Domestic Terrorist Act. It was given as an edict from President Joe Biden to Merrick Garland, the Attorney General in the Department of Justice, and behind the closed doors with the bureaucrats In fact, in the research that I've done, it says they reached out to social media, they reached out to the media in general, they reached out to the legislators, they reached out to international law to make the determination on how they should word this new edict now, this new, if you please, regulation that's coming out of the Department of Justice, and it has the same authority, the same power, as if it had been voted on and passed by legislation, has that same power and same authority, the Domestic Terrorist Act. It's not a law. It's never been voted on. It's not been approved by the House or the Senate, but it's right now enacted in the United States of America. Here's the article, one of the articles on that. Justice Department domestic terror document could ensnare Biden critics, professors, tells Tucker. Political scientist warns new Joe Biden DOJ document about domestic terrorism could ensnare any Biden critic. And ladies and gentlemen, it goes on. This is an article from Tucker Carlson's program, where an academic-minded professor did the research on the article that we're looking at today about the Domestic Terrorist Act. It says it's one of the most concerning that has ever been studied, he said. He made the statement that what you look at here is clear. The legal analysis in the field didn't write the document. It was the political appointees trying to push their agenda form the document. They list three factors to drive domestic terrorism. The first is racism, and then in that racism, white supremacy. Ladies and gentlemen, the federal government has taken the critical race theory. They've permeated all of society, including higher education, lower education, all governmental agencies, to make it look as though America is a racist nation. They have created the agenda. They've created the tragedy. They've created the problem. And now they supposedly are going to resolve the problem by the Domestic Terrorist Act. It is though you go out here and you strike a match and you start a fire to burn a building down, then you come rushing back with your fire garments on with a hose in your hand. You say, I'm going to put the fire out. It is causing the problem and then coming up with a resolution for that problem.
Amen.
And one of the major things, it says, another tenet of this document describes domestic terrorism as anything that's anti-government sentiment.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is with the Domestic Terrorist Act is, first of all, they state there's four prongs to it. I call it four legs to the chair. And I'm just going to analyze very briefly for the benefit of our discussion today, two of those legs on that four-legged chair. One of them is, in that Domestic Terrorist Act, is to identify the threat, to identify the threat. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, according to the DOJ, this will be done. Now, how will they identify the threat, Pastor? How will the DOJ decide if we are a terrorist in the making? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we think about terrorism. I think about Islamic terrorism. That is danger coming in, trying to blow up America, destroy America, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this will be done by, according to this document, this will, to identify the threat, will be done in concert with the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, Facebook, social media, big tech, the banks, and the news reporting agencies, in concert with the federal, local, and state governments and law enforcement agencies. Just as in China, all Americans will now be watched, traced, tracked, listened to, and everything that you buy, sell, do, and travel will all be monitored to determine, Pastor, and this is their determination, if you say anything negative to the government, if you say anything negative about the election of 2020, if you say anything negative about the source of COVID-19, if you question anything that Joe Biden or his administration is doing, then you, my dear friend, you are on the list as the potential of a domestic terrorist.
Yes.
They have even put into that Domestic Terrorist Act a provision that they're going to require every citizen, every employer, every employee, every friend, every family, every neighbor, every relative, every law enforcement to snitch. If they see what you're saying, if they see what you're doing, if they think that somehow, some way it's antithetical to the government, then, ladies and gentlemen, you are a domestic terrorist in the making, and the federal government can come in and stomp your door down and handcuff you and drag you off, put you in jail where you've got to defend your position. And how will they do that? They will look at everything that's written, everything that's printed, everything that's published, everything that's said. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, carefully. Right now, the United States Post Office has a division that's listening to and watching everything that's on your Facebook. FBI, the CIA, and every federal law enforcement agency, they are out there. They're skimming everything that's said on emails, text messages, telephone calls. Listen, if you'd use the email very much at all, you have discovered in the past year that most of what you want to forward to someone else is canceled and is not forwarded. If you have anything that is negative in what the government calls negative, that is questioning Joe Biden, questioning the election of 2020, questioning anything that the president administration is doing or saying, then that is canceled and you cannot forward it. Our Facebook's being monitored. Google is monitoring everything we say and do. Everything that we say and do on email, everything that we say and do on Facebook, everything that's said and done, what you buy, what you travel. Most people are not aware, Pastor, that the bank, everything that you do with your bank, is reported directly to the federal government, what you bought, what you sold, what money goes in your account, what money comes out of the account. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being a watched nation, just as the nation of China. Now, if that doesn't frighten you, if that doesn't cause terrorist thought to be in your minds, nothing can. But it goes back to, Pastor, the fundamental foundation. We can't place our trust and confidence in government. It must be in God.
Amen. 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 Well, Dr. Youngblood, it's high time, again, since we've been warned in so many ways. Amen. And I know we're getting ready to go. Amen. But I want the people of God, amen, to be encouraged on today.
Yes, yes,
because
yes.
God is still in control.
That's right.
Amen. The Bible lets us know that happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 144, beginning at verse 12, says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is the people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Nothing better, ladies and gentlemen, than placing your trust and confidence in the Lord. Understand, just as the building in South Florida collapsed, because the degradation of the foundation, our foundation is being destroyed. We must place our faith and trust and confidence in the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen.
Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.